United States History, 8th grade. Wednesday, April 29th. History Unit, Manifest Destiny. Lesson 2, Trains. Unit Overview. Be able to do this by the end of the lesson. Explain the significance of the train as a means of transportation. The train became an innovative and fast way to travel over land when rivers or waterways were inaccessible. In this lesson, you will read through two intriguing stories regarding trains that give us a sense of the exhilarating newness in riding a train. The first story is a secondary source from eyewitnesstohistory.com about a race between one of the first steam locomotives and a horse. The second story is from Charles Dickens, the famous author of A Christmas Carol, Oliver Twist, A Tale of Two Cities, and Great Expectations. The world-renowned British author Charles Dickens made his first visit to the United States in 1842 with his wife, Catherine Thompson Hogarth, and detailed his experience on riding on an early train carriage in a travelogue called American Notes for General Circulation. On this trip, he particularly enjoyed Boston, calling it his favorite American city. When he left the United States to return to England, Mr. Dickens began his work on A Christmas Carol. These two stories give us wonderful reflections on the train in the 1830s and the 1840s. United States History, Secondary Source, America's First Steam Locomotive, 1830. In the 1820s, the port of Baltimore was in danger. The threat came from the newly opened Erie Canal and the proposed construction of the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal that would parallel the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. to Cumberland, Maryland. These new water routes promised to provide a commercial gateway to the west that would bypass Baltimore's thriving harbor and potentially hurl the city into an economic abyss. Something had to be done. The local entrepreneurs looked across the Atlantic to England and found an answer in the newly developed railroad. In 1828, the Maryland Syndicate, led by Charles Carroll, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, broke ground for the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. The railroad's objective was to connect Baltimore with the Ohio River and the West. Initially, the railroad's power was to be provided by horses. However, it soon became obvious that animal muscle was no match for the long distances and mountainous terrain that would have to be traveled. The solution lay with the steam engine. By 1830, the B&O Railroad, that's Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, had extended its track from Baltimore to the village of Ellicott's Mills, 13 miles to the west. The railroad was also ready to test its first steam engine, an American-made locomotive engineered by Peter Cooper of New York. It was a bright summer's day and full of promise. Syndicate members and friends piled into an open car pulled by a diminutive steam locomotive, appropriately named the Tom Thumb, with its inventor at the controls. Passengers thrilled at the heart-pumping sensation of traveling at the then unheard-of speed of 18 miles per hour. The outbound journey took less than an hour. John Latrobe, a lawyer for B&O Railroad, who rode on Tom Thumb, said, "The trip to Ellicott's Mills was most interesting. The curves were passed without difficulty at a speed of 15 miles an hour. The grades were ascended with comparative ease. The day was fine. The company in the highest spirits, and some excited gentlemen of the party pulled out memorandum books. And when, at the highest speed, which was 18 miles an hour, wrote their names in some connected sentences, to prove that even at that great velocity, it was possible to do so." The return trip from the mills, a distance of 13 miles, was made in 57 minutes. On the return trip, an impromptu race with a horse-drawn car developed. The locomotive came out the loser. It was an inauspicious beginning. However, Within a few years, the railroad would become the dominant form of long-distance transportation and relegate the canals to the dustbin of commercial history. Questions for the reading. Using primary source, America's First Steam Locomotive, 1830, answering the following questions. Number 1. What was happening to Baltimore as a result of the Lake Erie Canal? Number 2. What solution did entrepreneurs like Charles Carroll find to stop Baltimore's decline? Number 3. How fast did the first steam locomotive go? Today's Amtrak trains travel over 100 miles per hour consistently, with some even hitting 150 miles per hour. Number 4. On Mr. Cooper's return journey from the mills, how long did it take for the train to cover 13 miles? Number 5. Who won, the train or the horse? Make corrections with a red pen using the answer key found on page 23. United States History Primary Source, Charles Dickens on an Early Train. Number 1. Before leaving Boston, I devoted one day to an excursion to Lowell, Massachusetts. I made acquaintance with an American railroad, on this occasion, for the first time. As these works are pretty much alike all through the states, their general characteristics are easily described. Number 2. There are no first and second class carriages, as with us, in England, but there is a gentleman's car and a lady's car, the main distinction between which is that in the first, everybody smokes, and in the second, nobody does. As a black man never travels with a white one, there is also a negro car, which is a great blundering, clumsy chest, such as Gulliver put to sea in, from the kingdom of Brobdingnag, a land where everything is huge. There is a great jolting, a great deal of noise, a great deal of wall, not much window, a locomotive engine, a shriek, and a bell. Number 3. The cars are like shabby omnibuses, but larger, holding 30, 40, 50 people. The seats, instead of stretching from end to end, are placed crosswise. Each seat holds 2 persons. There is a long row of them on each side of the caravan, narrow passage up the middle, and a door at both ends. In the center of the carriage there is usually a stove fed with charcoal or anthracite coal, which is for the most part red hot. It is insufferably close, and you see the hot air fluttering between yourself and any other object you may happen to look at, like the ghost of smoke. Number 4. Except when a branch road joins the main road, there is seldom more than one track of rails, so that the road is very narrow, and the view, where there is a deep cutting, by no means extensive. When there is not, the character of the scenery is always the same. Mile after mile of stunted trees, some hewn down by the axe, some blown down by the wind, some half fallen and resting on their neighbors, many mere logs half hidden in the swamp, others moldered away to spongy chips. The very soil of the earth is made up of minute fragments such as these. Each pool of stagnant water has its crust of vegetable rottenness. On every side there are the boughs and trunks and stumps of trees, and every possible stage of decay, decomposition, and neglect. Now you emerge, for a brief few minutes, on an open country, glittering with some bright lake or pool, broad as many as English River, but so small here that it scarcely has a name. No catch hasty glimpses of a distant town, with its clean white houses and their cool piazzas, its prim New England church and schoolhouse, when whirr, almost before you have seen them comes the dark, same dark screen, the stunted trees, the stumps, the logs, the stagnant water, also like the last, that you seem to have been transported back again by magic. Number 5. The train calls at stations in the woods, where the wild impossibility of anybody having the smallest reason to get out is only to be equaled by the apparently desperate hopelessness of there being anybody to get in. It rushes across the turnpike road, where there is not gate, no policeman, no signal, nothing but a rough wooden arch, on which is paint. When the bell rings, look out for the locomotive. On it whirls headlong, dives through the woods again, emerges in the light, clatters over frail arches, rumbles upon heavy ground, shoots beneath a wooden bridge which intercepts that light for a second like a wink. Suddenly awakens all the slumbering echoes in the main street of a large town, and dashes haphazard, pell-mell, neck or nothing, down the middle of the road. There, with mechanics working at their trades, and people leaning from their doors and windows, and boys flying kites and playing marbles, and men smoking, and women talking, and children crawling, and pigs burrowing, and unaccustomed horses plunging and rearing close to the very rails, there, on, tears the mad dragon of an engine with its train of cars, scattering in all directions a shower of burning sparks from its wood fire, screeching, hissing, yelling, panting, until at last the thirsty monster stops beneath a cupboard to drink. The people cluster round, and you have time to breathe again. United States History Review Sheet, Charles Dickens on an Early Train. Using the primary source, Dickens on an Early Train, answer the following questions. What details do you see throughout the reading happening inside the train? How are the cars structured? What kind of cars are there? How is it inside the cars? Draw the internal structure. Number 2. What details do you see throughout the reading happening outside the train? What did he see outside of the train? Number 3. Dickens describes the train as a mad dragon of an engine with its train of cars, the thirsty monster. How is the train like a mad dragon or a thirsty monster? This concludes the material for Wednesday, April 29th.